Every leader has a strategy. Executing on that strategy is the challenge. If you want to learn how to effectively achieve what you've set out to accomplish, then this show is for you. Gain keen insights and listen in as leaders share their stories and challenges. Soar Vision Group and the Baldrige Foundation welcome you to Leader Dialogue Radio.
This is Duffy Dixon with Business Radio X. Thanks for joining us. Let me introduce our two dynamic leaders of Soar Vision Group. Ben Sawyer is the Chief Executive Officer. Ben has over 30 years of executive leadership experience with a strong record of accomplishment. He has significant guided strategic or strategy deployment experience, and he's worked with many clients to achieve dramatic, sustainable operational performance and really greatly improve outcomes. Jennifer Strahan is President of Business Optimization Services for Soar Vision Group. Jennifer is partnered with more than 100 health systems and businesses across the U.S., helping them transform their strategic, administrative, and clinical operations. As a small business owner herself, Jennifer understands the complexities, and there are many, of driving a successful business within a dynamic market. We welcome this week Swim Kids of Georgia. Joining us is Nadine Siegel-Brown, who is the CEO and principal swim instructor, and Jessica Jimenez, who is the COO. This is a fascinating business you have, just a really necessary thing. So tell me a little bit more about Swim Kids of Georgia and welcome.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'll let Nadine really dive in because she is the one who originally started this company like 30 years ago, approximately.
We're in the business of saving lives. Swim Kids of Georgia. Drowning is the leading cause of death for children under the age of 14. The first leading cause of death for children under the age of four. Swim Kids of Georgia wants to prevent that from happening to any family. We teach a swim, float, swim sequence. We teach children what to do, critical thinking in the water. Mm-hmm. Turn over and float. If you fall in, swim to the side and get out. A child as young as 6 months old can learn to roll back and float. Once they become a little bit more agile and are walking, they can learn a swim, float, swim sequence. So we're in the business of saving lives.
What an important thing. And Jennifer, we talked about you. You have a little one.
I do.
And that's a concern for everyone. It can happen so quickly, falling in. We have so many bodies of water mm-hmm. in Georgia. That's the other thing. It's not just pools.
Right. So no, I remember going to my pediatrician. I have a 2.5-year-old. And I remember when he was tiny, they were saying they can drown in toilets. So, I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to be learning to swim in a toilet, but but we do need to make sure that they can learn to swim if they're in a pool or whatever the case is. So it's critical as parents, grandparents, et cetera. Absolutely.
And I think what's amazing to me is children of that age can do critical thinking and get to that point. Talk to us about that. How does that work?
Well, if you take into consideration that children learn 95% of what they're going to learn by the time they turn five, critical thinking, cross motor skills, the water and swimming really helps develop those skills,
right,
left motor, motor skills. So it's a great, it's great for critical thinking. You just teach them. It's the methodology is you show them what to do. You keep showing them what to do. And they mimic it. It's sort of applied behavior analysis.
Right.
You get them kicking first and moving through the water, and then they feel the need for air. They roll back on their backs and float, which is their safe spot, and then flip back over and take a wall, take the stairs, someplace they get themselves out.
Right.
It's pretty fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Now, Nadine and Jessica, you recently took part in a discovery audit with Soar Vision Group. You wanted to understand the opportunities for improvement against the backdrop of the organizational hierarchy of needs. Now, listeners who joined us for our first show last week, this is the time you can log on online and follow along. We have that organizational hierarchy of needs, and it's really helpful as you follow along. So go to www.leaderdialogue.com. Again, www.leaderdialogue.com. And follow along, and I'll let you guys take it away. I guess my big question is, what did you learn from the audit? How did it go?
Well, as COO, from an operational standpoint, the biggest thing that popped out at me was that we are operating at an approximate 29% capacity rate or utilization rate.
that was just the rug out from under my feet. Mm-hmm. Like, how have we survived? But we're surviving. Mm-hmm. And so digging deeper into the report, looking at the numbers, if we just bump up by almost 30% to a 60% capacity rate, we double our income this year. And so to me, that was pretty profound, I think. And the second thing is, you know, our market really are children under 10, our market that we target. And we are approximately 27 to 46% at that age level in serving that group. And I thought, we're not reaching enough children. We're not right. saving enough lives. So how do we get to them? What's going on? What's wrong?
Right. And I was going to ask you, your program is really different than a lot of other swim programs.
Totally different.
And so maybe you can talk to that, Jessica, a little bit in terms of how differentiating yourself and then accessing that capacity can really make a difference for families in Georgia.
Well, with my discovery, we, you know, went across the board to companies that advertise that they do the flotation type mm-hmm. of swim lesson. You know, we went and we dug deep. We looked at their lesson. We looked at their methodology, and it just doesn't, it's not the same thing. They're introducing the water. They're playing in the water, which is great for some people. But for people like me who have a pool in their backyard and a pediatrician that scared the pants off of me, you know, that's not really for me. I wanted my children to truly be able to roll over and float and survive should they fall in the pool. Swim Kids of Georgia has a 6-week program. It's intensive. It's 4 days a week. It's 10-minute lessons per day. So it's very short periods of time in the water because you really don't want to exert them, you know? So that's all they can handle at that age. But by the end of the 6 weeks, they really can truly float and swim and kick to an edge or an exit point. And that saves their lives. So that's what separates us from our competitor, so to speak. They don't do that. And in 6 weeks, they don't guarantee that you can swim. So, you know, there's a huge market for us, for our voice to get out there and say, this is what we do differently. Mm-hmm. We're not like the other guys.
You know, one of the things that I think is so critical and valuable is, you know, I personally do a lot of work in healthcare, and it's a very related field in that you've got a very strong mission that you're trying to achieve with all the work you're doing. But you can't get to that full mission if you haven't really maximized your margin, which is why right. opportunities for capacity are so important, because it's not just about income. Obviously, that's right. important as a business leader, but that's, to your point, that's children's lives that you're hitting. So you're really saying, how do we have a bigger impact in our local community yeah. to help save lives?
So Nadine, put that together for us. So there's capacity, and you have this transformational approach that you pioneered. How do those two things come together in this opportunity for you as the CEO?
Well, I think that getting the word out, seeing where our strong side is and our weak sides are, which that's what you guys did for us.
Right.
You know, we saw where we're strong and we saw where we need improvement.
Right.
And I think part of the improvement is what we're doing right now
right.
is communicating to the public what it is that we do and what makes us different than a traditional swim school.
Right.
So with your guidance, we found our Achilles heel and we're working on that. We found our strengths and we're building on that. And what people don't understand is little kids think differently than we do. So you're telling that they learn as infants to splash around in the sink. You know, you're taking the little thing that you're taking and spraying them with water and they're splashing around. So they equate water to being fun. Once you take them to the pool and they start walking over to the edge because water's fun and you're yelling at them, stop. That's dangerous. We're sending them mixed messages.
Right.
And as parents, I don't think we understand that.
Right.
I don't think we understand that kids can learn what they can learn at such a young age.
Right.
And to me, it enhances their whole being.
Right.
When they start swimming before they start walking, they learn to walk faster. When they start swimming before they're talking, it improves speech. It improves cognizant development. It's not just about swimming and surviving in the water. It's about tapping into those other avenues as well.
Right. That's so important. So just a quick follow-up question then, Jessica. So if families and parents can understand that and come to you and you have the capacity to accommodate that new volume and get your current site up to its maximum capacity, what does that mean in terms of being able to replicate that in other parts of Georgia?
Well, it certainly means that we're in the franchise business at that point. Nadine has taught instructors all over the world. And so we were just speaking with you guys and knowing where you are on the map in the state of Georgia, we have an instructor in your area. And so if we can really, you know, focus in on what we're doing here, get it right, mm-hmm. get it turnkey, get all of our processes and systems down, we can reach so many families. We can reach so many children. You know?
So what Jessica is talking about, Duffy, is the organizational hierarchy of need, relationship, and how to leverage that and maximize that, right, in terms of her organization's performance.
Absolutely. And we talked about that hierarchy of needs, and it has to start with the mission, right? And has to start with strategy. But then what do we always get? If I've not learned anything from you two, it is strategy is one thing, but it has to be followed by execution.
That's right.
So what should they do first? I mean, have we gotten to that part where what is the number one thing they should really start addressing?
Well, there's several components, right? So any business really has to start with, again, who are we? How do we differentiate ourselves from our market? And part of that means you have to know your customer base. You have to recognize that. So to your point, communicating and recognizing all the different avenues of who you are, what are the clients' needs that you're serving, that's critical. And that comes into tapping into that demand, which essentially allows you to say, how do we optimize beyond that and get into potential franchising? Because again, that just expands your footprint across the board, right? But there's all these pieces. Another really critical component that Ben just started to allude to that you were talking about, Jessica, was around organizational effectiveness. So you guys have probably all been to franchise businesses that you go to one location and it's great, and you go to another location and it's terrible. And that's an experience that no business owner wants. And that's actually one of the key things that I think a lot of business leaders, they shy away from franchising because of fear of quality control. And you exactly. don't want to lose that. And exactly. in something that's life-saving, that's critical.
I was going to say that, you know, is the most critical thing. Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough for a business to be consistent day in and day out and give the same service, the same attention, the same experience. And then when you talk about giving up some of that control to let other people mimic that, that's a challenge.
Which brings up the issue that we had talked about in the discovery of standard work and consistent processes. So talk to us a little bit about that based on that interaction that we had.
Okay. Well, after we had that conversation, I went back to the drawing board with, you know, my jaw on the ground at that 29% capacity rate. And I thought, what are we doing wrong? You know, with the feedback that we got about the organizational gap being the front desk, and it's not necessarily the person, it was what they were communicating to our customer and how consistent they were. And where we were breaking down in that process between who's there in the morning, who's there in the afternoon, who's there on the weekend. So I went back and I just sat with everyone and thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And what I discovered is that we aren't consistent in what we're communicating about our programs, at what age we start taking children, because we will go down to 4 months of age. We have a program for that. It's definitely not the survival program at 4 months, but it is a program that introduces them to the water with their parent, which is a segue into private lessons. Mm-hmm. Front desk had, you know, mixed communication about that. And then on top of that, we have a policy in place where we really don't do makeup sessions with our group, larger group classes in the older children. And we were spending 90% of our day rescheduling makeup sessions for classes that, I'm sorry, quite frankly, if you miss, you miss. And that's where our breakdown was. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there's more. But
so these are hard facts.
Right.
When you're a business owner and you need to preserve your margin, having those kinds of inefficiencies, which you saw in the discovery process that relates to that organizational hierarchy of needs that the listeners are looking at right now on that homepage, that's a big deal.
Well, and you know, when you're dictated by what you do on a day in and day out basis on an operational side by a main operating system, sort of like in medicine, an EMR system, it dictates how you open your day and how you close your day. Mm-hmm. We have that system and it wasn't being utilized to its maximum ability. And it has processes built in and we're not following those.
Right.
So that was another identifying marker with your report that I came back to just dumbfounded, like, we have to change this, you know?
We're probably operating about 29% with our computing system as well, so.
Which is encouraging in the sense that you have this opportunity to really be able to expand it. But it's hard to be able to change unless you identify that there's that gap.
Yeah. So this brings up two thoughts that are relevant to almost any business. So one is, one point that you brought up was the fact that you talked about the front desk, which is not obviously your core business, right? Your core business or your swim lessons and being
right,
in the
you
pool.
You have to get them back there.
But
first.
It's critical, right? It's usually the front and back door to every business. So it's just like when you call to make an appointment or you call to schedule something or you're talking to anyone in an office who may or may not be the critical service delivery person for whatever business that is. That is usually people's first and or last exposure to the business. So if it doesn't go smoothly, and again, it could be to your point, no reflection on the person themselves, but if it doesn't go smoothly or they're hearing mixed messages, that's the taste that it leaves in their mouth. So again, just because we talk about healthcare, billing, you guys have probably all experienced, is usually the last thing we get in healthcare and it's our least favorite exposure. And it doesn't matter how good the rest of the experience was. That's what we think about, right? The second point I just wanted to mention, because you talked about systems, again, a lot of businesses, they integrate systems. They bring in a system, an IT system or something they're going to work on, and they think it's going to just solve all of their problems. And it requires utilization. It requires proper utilization. And it's funny because one of the things we often talk about is that if you don't look at your process before you just go directly into adjusting a system, all it does is just shines a light on every problem you have. And it helps you realize just how broken things are, because it, in and of itself, technology doesn't solve everything. You've got to have the process and the people behind it to really support it.
So that they're exactly. Talking about those front people, that the front desk picking up the phone, is there something they can start doing now? I mean, obviously she said she's still unpacking a lot of what was revealed to her, but is this the point where I love one of the things you say is that you've got to have employees buy in on the strategy, buy in. And Nadine was very clear on what Safe Kids of Georgia is about, why it's so important. So at this point, can she bring in employees and get everyone on the same page? I mean,
yes. So what Duffy is talking about is essentially encouraging your employees to act like owners. Mm-hmm. They can't do that unless they understand the gap and what you're trying to accomplish. Right. When that occurs, you're able to engage them and say, this is the expectation. This is what we're trying to overcome. And therefore, let's, you know, help us with that.
Yeah. And I would actually add, so with thinking about Swim Kids of Georgia, the first thing that you start to do is exactly what you're doing. You go back to the place where the work occurs and you say, what are we doing, right? What's our current state, which is exactly what you guys have started to look at. And how do you take that current state and then recognize your gaps? Which is also very hard. So kudos to you guys as business leaders to be able to say, hey, come look at what we're doing and tell me where we have opportunity, because it's very personal when it's your business.
It's very depressing to find out.
But there's a lot of good things too, right? You guys have a lot of great pieces to your company as well.
But it's you know, it's hard yes. to, when the facts hit you between yes. the eyes, you kind of sit down and go, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, here I thought I was doing great.
Yeah.
But I was living in my own fog.
Yeah.
I could be doing better.
Yeah.
And it's not only, you have to eat, you have to put a roof over your head. And it is an economic situation, but it's also how many more people, how many more kids can we touch?
Right. That's exactly you know? It.
Well, just like Georgia ranked number 5 in the nation for 2017 in drownings for children under the age of 15.
Wow.
And 70% of that were children under the age of 5 with pools and spas. And that was just a statistic taken from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That wasn't even the entire year. and we ranked number 5.
That's an excuse.
So when you get to that point, you say, how many lives can we save by spreading the word?
Right. And it starts with the attention to the detail.
Yep.
Understanding where you're at relative to this organizational hierarchy of needs framework and saying, we're going to zero in on those gaps.
And I never thought that stuff was important.
Yeah.
You know, honest to goodness, I thought, well, it's people are going to hear from us, word of mouth, this, that. I never really gave the front desk a lot of thought because I'm a swim instructor.
Right.
And the administrative part gives me nausea. So with Jess, I think, and when she came to me, she said, well, here's what where we are. But the good news is we can only go up from here.
Right.
So it's kind of hard. It's kind of a slap in between the eyes.
It's humbling, right?
It is very humbling.
Yeah. And it, again, that also shows just how great of leaders you are to be able to take that, because that's a hard pill to swallow for anyone. And we joke, it's like calling your baby ugly. Nobody wants to hear that whenever it's your baby, right? It's your business. It's something you have poured your heart and soul into. But how does this support your mission to just continue to grow and as an organization, save lives?
Yeah. Well, it's great to identify how much growth potential that you have when you have no idea.
Right.
It's like riding a bicycle in the mud when you're trying to figure out all of these things on your own.
Right.
You know, you're putting out fires and you're standing in a trench of water, shoveling it out while a fire hose is putting it in, you know, and having a company come in and look at it in an overview situation and a very objective way.
Very objective.
It's eye-opening, and it's hard for her and it's hard for me, but it forces you to do something about it.
I love how you, though, as hard as that is, I'm hearing from everybody that it's also, once you get over the shock, it's encouraging. You have nowhere to go but up. I mean, look at the numbers. 29, and you can get up to 100. I mean, there is so much room there for improvement. And once it's what you do with this information, once you have it, and you're right, it's almost encouraging because there is so much you can do with probably little tweaks in the beginning. I mean, tell me.
Yeah, so there's the good news for the listeners is there's a common framework that everyone can understand. And just to unpack what we just talked about. So Jennifer started off with talking about no margin, no mission. That's the financial piece, right? Yeah. Well, below that is customer value. You have a very clear, well-articulated customer value, but the thing below that is organizational effectiveness. And if you're not able to hit your capacity and reach those people that have that need, you're not able to then deliver full customer value and deliver financial performance. So when you look at it, it makes sense. You have a tether point that now you can say, okay, what other things might we need to look at? For example, colleague engagement, which is the bottom level that you talked about before. How do we get people to that are your employees connected so that you're able to deliver on time, complete, and correct performance every time to every customer in the way they need it?
And everybody should be answering the same questions in the same way.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be scripted. They should be answering those things because they know.
Correct.
And they know what's going on in the pool. And, you know, I found that the people at the front desk want you to hold their hand.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part for them is the ownership is taking what you know and making it yours.
That's acting like an owner. That's exactly what we're talking about, Nadine. Absolutely.
And it'll make your job easier because you're empowering people to be part, and it'll empower them to be part of the mission. They're in it. They're part of the solution. People want to feel that. As employees, you know, when you take the time to educate them, explain why this is so important and tell them you are important. You are our first person who talks to customers. That really, when you do that, I'm telling you, employees like that. They want that ownership.
It's empowering.
It is.
There's an analogy that people often relate to. And it's, if you think about, for example, in any business and you've got a housekeeper, and again, I relate things to healthcare, but you can relate it to your front desk and the teams. And, you know, you can walk up to someone and say, hey, what are you doing? And they can be laying bricks. And they say, oh, I'm just laying bricks, right? It's very task oriented. That's what I'm doing. And you say, okay, so you keep walking down the street, you run into someone else and they're doing the exact same thing. And you say, hey, what are you doing? And he says, oh, well, I'm building a wall. And it's like, oh, that's great. Still laying bricks. And you keep walking down the street and you go to the next person and you say, hey, what are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm building a cathedral, right? That person still laying bricks, but they're tied to the strategy. They're tied to what's the bigger picture besides just what my task is. So I think about that in healthcare. If you have someone in environmental services, you're not just cleaning a room, you're preventing infection. At the front desk, you're not only just, you know, supporting them administratively, you're making sure that those kids get into the water and that they can have a safe environment at home or wherever they're at in public so that they can save their life. So there is a tie there. It's a critical and an ownership. It means, what am I doing? How does my task relate back to that strategic vision? And that's something that I think you guys do really well. And there's obviously opportunity, but again, that's normal anywhere, right?
Yeah. So Jennifer, that's a great story. And I'm looking at you now, Jessica, from the standpoint as the COO, when you think about that example of building the cathedral, two things to comment on. What does that look like for you as the COO? And secondly, how do you get all the different bricklayers to work together to make that vision that you and Nadine have come to life?
Well, I think you guys have sort of instilled it in our brains. It's our Hoshin, it's our mission, it's what we do, it's what we're passionate about, and it's what we do at the end of the day, which is saving children's lives. You know, we prevent them from drowning. And, you know, we have people that have had stories as far as taking their child to South Africa and falling in a river and, you know, rescue workers find them floating. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. And so if you can get, you know, the company to buy into our Hoshin or our mission and really understand that this is our end goal, then the cathedral's not so difficult. Right. It's just... And also that has to go back to obviously processes and systems and an infrastructure and the way we do things day in and day out. But
it's motivating.
It's motivating them, like you said, to take an ownership position. And I find that, you know, each day when I work with someone trying to figure out what they're doing, because it, like you, I'm like, what are you doing? They're laying bricks. And I'm like, okay, well, what are we building?
Right.
You know, And digging into that daily, as long as I'm there to, you know, instill some positivity in the processes and make it a little fun, but keep our mission in front of them, I think that they are starting to buy in and get a little more excited because they see where we can grow. One thing that you guys did point out that wasn't so negative was that we are, the feedback in the community, like the reviews, the customer reviews are all very positive.
They're stunning.
And they say we're delivering a great product.
Yes.
So when you take that back to team members, employees, and say, look at these reviews, you know, they actually get excited and they start taking pride in the brand as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And that's something that's harder to do, is change the customer's opinion. So if you're starting from that, that is great. And yes, when employees hear they did a good job, that is free on your side. And it makes employees excited. It gets them, once again, the ownership. So let's do something easy for you right now. If people do want to know more about Swim Kids of Georgia, how do they find out more?
Well, they can go to our website. It's www.swimkidsofgeorgia.com, or they can call us. Either way, our number's on the website, you know, and one of us will be happy to speak with them, but we have Facebook, we have social media, they can watch videos. That's very helpful for some moms, because some moms walk in expecting the splashing in the bathtub, the fun pitter patter in the water, and it's not. And, you know, that's where I think we need to do a better job as a company, educating those moms coming in, or dads, or whomever, grandparents, because that does happen, but that this is not for their fun. This is for, you know, saving their own lives.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So next week, we'll be following up with Swim Kids of Georgia, right? Ben and Jennifer will be looking more into this, see some of the progress.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, and this, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks
and introducing yourselves.
Yes.
What we're going to do is take these principles that you've talked about, and for the listening audience, we're going to unpack those things. So we're going to talk about capacity, and we're going to talk about on-time, complete, and correct performance, and improving organizational effectiveness. this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just want to again say thank you guys. This is amazing. As a mother with a young son, I can't tell you how much I think this is critical. So every parent out there or grandparent, make sure you go to swimkidsofgeorgia.com. And it's worth it. 10 minutes. I know it's a commitment to get there, but 10 minutes a day, 4 days a week for 6 weeks, right?
That's correct.
It's literally a matter of life or death. And it's
life saving.
It's life saving. Yeah, it's even better than it sounds way better.
Nothing more important.
And it's only 6 weeks. At the end of that, you can enjoy your summer. It's so much fun.
It's perfect time. Perfect time.
Well, for our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on Leader Dialogue, presented, as we said, by Soar Vision Group and the Baldrige Foundation. Now, remember to tune in every Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern time if you want to listen to us live and then to hear this episode again, or if you want to listen to any previous Leader Dialogue episodes, visit businessradiox.com. That's hard to say altogether. businessradiox.com. Select the Gwinnett Studio, right? And then select Leader Dialogue. On behalf of the hosts, Ben Sawyer and Jennifer Strahan with Soar Vision Group, and our producers, Mike and Trey, you don't see them, but they're working hard. I'm Duffy Dixon. We'll see you next time on Leader Dialogue on Business Radio X.